Lekuta Sichas Chelek Chabez Parsha Emer Sicha Gimel. In the Heidegger Sedeh Verin Uizgirach and Didalim Minim, in this week's Parsha we have the list of the four species which we was Dafnema B'Yamirishin from Chagasukas that we have to the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav Priyetz Hadar, which are the fruit of a tree, a beautiful tree or a tree, a fruit that's beautiful, which is the Esrig, Kapas Tmarim, the palm frond, Anaf Eitz Avos, a branch of what we call Adasim. It's a woven, it's like what appears to be a woven leaves. And Arvei Nochal, the Arabis, the willow, which is called the willow of the stream. Gefindt men in dem Adavar Pella. So we find something astonishing about this. By the Eshte Drei Minim, Zetmen, by the first three species we just listed, Zetmen are the Simen Vos Teire Gitav Zeh, that the way the Teire describes it, so we know which plant it is Atnai Li Kuva, those things which the Teire names to describe, to identify the plant, is essential, must be there. If it's missing that element of the fruit or the plant that we're going to be using, then it doesn't qualify. Is the minvas in the minvas menem lepoil? It is essential. You must have the species that we're going to use for the lulav and esrog has to have the identifying mark that the Torah gave for it. And he lists what they are: priyetz hadar, the fruit of a beautiful tree. The esrog vas menem muzaina priyetz. The esrog that we use must be a fruit. It has to be a fruit of a tree. Unas muzaina hadar, and it must be a beautiful one. So first of all, the Gemara says if you take the size of an esrog, which is yet not considered a fruit, a mature fruit, it's still considered to be a bud or like a further than a bud, but not yet what we would classify as a fruit. It's possible for an esrog. Why? Because the Torah says a fruit. And it has to be a beautiful fruit, which means that if it's a dried up, shriveled esrog, then it doesn't, it's a puzzle. It has to have those two markers which the Torah gave it. Kapis Tmarim, the branch of the closed branch, like the lulav, which is closed branches before it spreads open, of a date tree. The lulav muzain kapis, a kafus, it must be together. It can't be that it started spreading, the leaves started spreading away from the center spine, what we call the spine. Olam aruyim la'agdam, it has to be, the lulav has to be in a way that the leaves can be closed against the center spine. Ulekaisim ma'shedr, and to tie them together with the shedr. But if they started spreading, if you look at the mature leaves of a palm tree, you see that they spread out. It's no longer possible to close them up against the spine. And oibnish is this apostle. So if it's not possible to close them up, then it's possible. It's no longer kosher for a lulav. And oich benegedem pratfun tmarim. And also, since it says kapis tmarim, the branch of a date tree, is Mazbe the Ragachava. The Ragachava explains us is Nishgunug alulav fun abayim vos hot dem shame fun dem mint marim, that it's not enough that you take a branch, the lulav, from a tree which is called a date tree, but this date tree for some reason isn't producing fruit. There's no dates, don't grow on this tree for whatever reason. It's not enough that it's called that it is the species of a date tree. It has to be from a palm tree that actually produces dates, because the title list says a tree, a palm of dates, a date palm. And the Ragachava says the mitzvah zemevayir v'schalzal zogim. By this he explains what our sages tell us, the dalad minim shabalulav, that the four species that we use for the mitzvah of lulav, beis mehem oisim peiros, two of those species produce fruit, which would be the esrog, of course, and the lulav, which comes from a a date palm. L'chayre, so you could ask the question, oichan eitz hadas kitareis peiris anovim. Because a hadas also has little berries that grow when it starts getting a little older, more mature, berries come out on the hadas. So there is another species that produces fruit. So he answers, Naval by lulav is the din. So the reason is because by lulav the halacha is as the lulav muzayin for nadekel shoyis etzmarit. It has to come from a tree that actually produces dates. When oy but not tadekel etzim pasul lulav. And if he planted a tree like a palm tree, but he's only interested in the wood and producing wood, and therefore I don't know if I'm not sure what he could do about making sure that it produces dates or not, but there must be something about it. So this one doesn't, it's just for the wood that he planted it, and it doesn't produce dates. So it would be possible. Mashenken by Hadas, but by the Hadasim, was mus nishkum of ananets versus aesopatis. The Hadasim don't have to come from a bush, a Hadas bush, a myrtle bush that also produces these berries. They sometimes produce berries, sometimes not. Perfectly fine if it doesn't produce berries. So therefore the Hadas and the Araba are two of the species which do not produce fruit, because it's not essential that they produce fruit. Whereas the other ones, the Esrog of course has to be a fruit, and the Lulav, says the Raga Chaba, has to come from a tree which actually in fact produces dates. Now we go to Anafetz Aves, the Hadas. Their hadas muzayin aves. The hadas has to be what the Torah describes as aves, which means it looks like it's like completely surrounded by leaves. The entire twig is surrounded by leaves. Tlosa b'chatkina has to be that all the leaves come out on the same level, and therefore the entire branch of the hadas is going to be completely covered in leaves. It won't be an area which is seen, which can be seen, because the one leaf is lower than the others, and therefore you can see the branch. That's not kosher. It has to be that all the leaves come out on the same level, and therefore they completely cover the branch. When aibnish, then if all the three leaves do not come out on the same level, is as possible, then it's not kosher anymore. So we see that these three species, the way that the Torah describes them, is critical and essential, and it has to have those identifiers. And if not, you can't use that branch or that fruit. Masha'enkin b'am ferten min, but when it comes to the fourth of the species, chach as oich b'am is the pasuk mitzayin, even though there the pasuk also gives identifiers. It says, arve nochal, the willow of the stream. So you would think that all the willows have to come from the stream. The Torah describes it that way. But the dimet halacha is ashel baal ksheira, that if a willow bush grows in a dry area, not alongside water, it's also kosher. Oib noras is from the min arava, as long as it's the same species, it's a bush, a willow, what's it called, a willow bush. Normally the willow bush grows alongside water, but if you have a willow bush that's not growing alongside water, because it's the same species which normally grows alongside water by a nachal, is this kashim al-chachila? Therefore you can use it without any question. In fact, most of the aravas that we have access to today grow in people's backyards. They're not alongside streams at all, and we use it. Even though the actual willow branch that you use did not grow next to a stream, it's still perfectly kosher. So you have to understand, for the andere drei minim, why is it that the arabas are different than all the other three species? Was the sima was teira gitavzei. Of the Aravas, that the identifier that the Torah lists about the Aravas is not of Klolus Amin, is only, we say that it only applies to that we understand what type of a species it is, but it does not need necessarily have to be a condition in the actual arava that you're using in your lulav, because this arava does not have to have grown next to a stream. So the arava is different than all the other three in this way. Beis, in Gemara is Faranam and Omar. In the Gemara we find an opinion as the din as Oichan arava vas is givaksim b'midbar b'harim is kosher. That this halacha that we just mentioned, that an arava that grew in the middle of the desert or on a mountain, meaning away from the from a water, is also kosher. Where do we know that from? Lert menop fundem v'shteit arve nochal, that it says in the pasuk arve, the willows of a stream, in the plural. Arve loshen rabim, the plural, the Torah expresses it as plural, the willows. In other words, the Torah is saying that there are different types of willows, different places in which the willows grow. There are the ones that grow by the stream, but other willows may grow somewhere else, and they too may be used. That's why it uses a plural. So in other words, there is your answer. But in addition to the general question, which would be, okay, the Torah does permit it, but why does the Torah permit it? It still leaves the question, fine, it's kosher, we agree it's kosher, but why does the Torah list three of the species in a way that it has to conform to the exact description that the Torah gives, whereas by the Al-Rabbis, it doesn't have to conform to the description that the Torah gives? My time of us, by the dry minimus, Torah makbid as the Prat Hanilkach, the poil. Why is it that in the three species the Torah insists that the particular branch or fruit that you're using for your lulav and esrog, so lahabim de simanim, should contain those markers which the Torah gave, and by arve nachal, whereas by the aravas is genug, ibis is the min bechlal, the Torah says it's enough that it's the general species. So that in itself is a question. But in addition to that is nishmuv, and we have another question. From Loshon HaRambam, from the way the Rambam words it, Leitin Pirush Fun Reva Mefarshim, at least the way most of the commentaries explain it, Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch also says it this way, is mashma, it seems from there, as mendaf nishab maribui miyuchad sumar b'zainan arava, that it doesn't need to be a specific pasuk that allows for the arava that doesn't grow alongside the water to be used as well. The Gemara gives tells us of an opinion which gives a source in the Torah, but they seem to say that it's really not necessary. You don't need that pasuk. Thus is givaksim b'midbar b'harim, that it should allow also aravas that grow in the desert or in the mountains. Nor mevesus fun mashmas akasa. We know it from the way the Torah tells it us. From the wording in the Torah, we know that it's just describing the general species, but it doesn't require that it should be growing along a stream. How do we know that? The Torah ruftze mitnomen, because the Torah gives it the name Arve Nochal. In other words, it's a descriptor, it's giving you the name of the species. The Aravas that grow along the stream, that's the name of the species. Because for the most part, this species grows along the streams. However, also an Arava which you take from the minority of that species, which doesn't grow alongside the water, is kosher, it's also kosher. In other words, that they're saying that the word Arve Nochal is just the name of the genus. The Torah is giving you the name of this species, and it was named that way because for the most part that's where they grow, but the Torah doesn't insist that it has to have grown by a stream. When the commentaries add, as when Ken Gornizog Naz Leitin Rama Ver the Din Abgelen from the Ribui Arve, that it's not even possible to say that the Rambam needs the word Arve in the plural that we said before, and that's how we know that you can use it even if it grows somewhere else. The Torah is including all kinds of aravas, even that don't grow alongside a river or stream. But we can't say that the Rambam relies on that. Why? Because we need that word arve, which means multiple aravas, multiple willows. What does it mean, multiple willows? That you have to have two willows on your lulav. That's what we learn from that word. And that's the way we paskin, that it has to be two willows. So therefore, we're not left with the word arve to teach us that the plural means to include different types of willows or different locations for where the willows grew, because we needed to teach us that there has to be two willows. So we don't have that word to teach us this thing. In other words, it's just known from the fact that we assume that this is what the Torah is saying, is that it is the name of that plant. So it comes out from therefore we see that according to the Rambam, as by Mzog the Loshan Arve Nachal, that when the Torah uses the word Arve Nachal, it's just describing the general name of that plant. But it's not trying to describe to you where the arava that you're using in your lulav has to come from, that it came from alongside a stream. Is nish verstandig? So then that we have to understand, minolon, how do we know? Umay taima. And even if we do know it, why is it that the Torah allows it, l'chalik b'simani ha-Torah, to make this difference in the description that the Torah gives for the four species, if the dalad minim, zwischen de esh de drei, and we make a difference between the first three, which every element that the Torah describes needs to be there in the one that you're using. But on the other hand, the aravas, it doesn't have to grow alongside the stream. Gimel, Ma'chingiret kama pa'amim. It was discussed already a number of times. As seine faran kama in yonim Torah, that there are subjects in the Torah. Vasin derech apshat val derech aniglu zayin zinish glatik. That if you look at them from the direct meaning of it, the simple meaning of it, and the way you look at it from the nigla, in other words, from this what's there on the surface. How do you treat this on the surface? What is it telling you? Are nishglatik, which means they something is missing, something doesn't work well. Like in this case, on ze veren verstandig gamri, and you can fully understand it, nor vedafka, only and specifically loid derech hadrush remez vasaid, only if you employ also the other ways in which the Torah speaks. The Torah speaks in the direct meaning, but it also speaks in the homiletic meaning, drush, and it speaks in allusions, you know, like it's a gematria, so different types of ways of approaching a subject without speaking directly about it. And soid, which means the esoteric. When you apply these teachings as well, suddenly it begins to make sense. Now it fully makes sense. Certainly, if you give an explanation from Pnimius HaTorah, from Chassidus, it certainly illuminates it, even though on the simple level it doesn't seem to work perfectly. Uvaloshen Rashi, and Rashi actually uses that kind of application, Ubad Gosha, and he puts an emphasis on it. Ein Hamikra Hazer, Rashi sometimes says, this pasuk cannot be understood. Omer Eladarsheni. It insists. This pasuk insists that you have to understand. You have to approach it from the perspective of medrash. That's the only way you're going to understand what the pasuk is saying. Rashi says there are certain psukim which insist that you have to apply the medrashic teaching in order to be able to explain it. The same is true in our matter. The chiluk hanal tzvishin de dalad minim. This difference that we're talking about between the four species is fashtanik bepashtus leiten bir in the dalad minim al derech hadrash, can be understood very simply if you understand, if you think about what the four species represent from the Medrashic perspective. Shteit the Medrash says, as the Dalet Nirim Zayin HaRemez are the four sugim Eden, that the four species represent four different categories of Jewish people. An Esrig represents Vas Yesh Beitam Yesh Bereich. The Esrig has a pleasant odor, pleasant aroma, and it also has a nice taste. So that is Meramez. That indicates, that is an allusion to Eden Vas Yesh Beim Teirav Yesh Beim Masim Teivim. It refers to a Yid which has Teirav, that studies Teirav, and also does good deeds. Kapas Tmarim, the lulav, which comes from Vasar Atomer, that it comes from a tree which produces dates, and the date, Yesh Beitam, has a good taste, Vein Bereich, but it doesn't have any particular aroma to it. Zainan Aremez of the Yidin, Vas Yesh Beitam, Teirav Beim Beim Asim Teirav. That alludes to a Yid, a Jew, which does study Teirav, so he has a good taste, Vein Beim Asim Teirav, but they don't particularly, they don't get involved in good deeds. So they're lacking the good aroma. How does the myrtle branch, the hadas yesh bereich, it has a very pleasant aroma, but aim by tam, it doesn't have any taste, you can't eat the leaves, they tasteless. Is meramez af yidin vos yesh bei maisim teiva ven bei metoira, that refers to yidin which have good deeds, but they don't study teira. When arava, the willow, vos aim by tam ve aim bereich, it doesn't have any taste, it doesn't have any aroma, is aremez oif, that indicates the Jewish people was bnei adam she'im behem loy teirav loy masim teivim. They don't study Torah, they don't do mitzvahs, they lack all of them, both. When the mitzvah for netilas dalad minim is in yona, so then what's the meaning of bringing these four species together? Yukshiru kulo maguda achas. These four types of yidden all must bind together. They all must be brought together to make one entity. They all have to join together, and it's one community, including everybody. All the four, just like we bring together the lulav and the esrog and the hadas and the arava, so also all these four categories of Jews have to come together to make one body of the Jewish people. So that's how the Medrash explains it. Kumtoi, so it comes out according to this. That there is a very fundamental difference between the first three categories that we mentioned and the Arava, the Eshte Drei Minim, the first three species which represent the Sugim in Eden, the kind of Yidden that they represent, Zaneglaich, Zelozeh, they are similar to each other. They are similar to each other, and therefore they come together naturally because each one of them has certain very obvious qualities. You see the qualities that they have, that they learn Torah and they do good, they do mitzvahs. And but they have to be, it takes a little deeper. You have to be able to see the person that is that's considered, let's say, a lulav, that he learns Torah, he's a lamdan, what we call a lamdan. So you have to be able to see him learning Torah, because there's a well-known phrase that says a ganef, that a thief is nish dervas ken gamven, and is not someone that knows how to steal, nor dervas gamvet, but rather the one that actually steals. A ganef, you would never refer to somebody that knows how to pick a lock as a ganef. The person that goes ahead and picks the lock and breaks in and steals, that's the ganef. So in a similar way, an alamdan is nishdervas ken learn, and alamdan is not, alamdan means somebody that's the Yiddish word or the Hebrew word for a scholar. A scholar is not somebody that knows how to learn, which means he's learned a lot in the past and therefore he knows a lot, but you never see him learning anymore. That's not alamdan. No, devas learn, but poyel, a lamdan is somebody that actually learns now. So therefore, when you call the lulav refers to somebody that is a Torah sage, it means that he's studying Torah now, which means that you can see him studying Torah. It's obvious that he is a person that studies Torah. The same with the esrog, of course, who also is a lamdan. Malachas kamav kamas the mailu for meisim tevim. Certainly, when we talk about the quality of somebody who has good deeds, is keteichna na pashut, is as the simple meaning of the word shayach davke v'metut demahot meisim tevim bepoil. Meisim tevim means good deeds, which means you're doing good things. So you can't say that about somebody that 20 years ago used to do good things. Somebody that is described as having good deeds means somebody who's doing good deeds now. So these three categories are people that can be identified obviously as people with obvious qualities. Masha'en kein the arava. On the other hand, the arava yidden vos ein bem loy teiru loy masen teivim, which refers to yidden which don't study Torah and they don't have good deeds. Is this achtos mezei the farvas is an in Eden? So then, why is it that they're being brought into this group? We're binding together with them. Why are we binding together with them? Where is the quality that they possess? So the reason is simply because they're Jewish. We bring them into the group. We connect with them, not because of any quality that they possess, but because they're Jewish. That's the reason that we connect to them. That quality is something very internal, very essential, and is fundamental to who they are. And this is something that which every Jew possesses. Any Jew that is a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov has that quality of being a Jew. Even if they don't actually study Torah and they don't actually do mitzvahs. When afila tiluk shenizbe, even a child which was kidnapped, that's how the Gemara describes a child. Where could it be a Jewish child in the time of the Gemara that knows nothing about Judaism? It must be that he was kidnapped to the goyim. The goyim kidnapped him. He grew up amongst goyim, had no opportunity to learn anything about being Jewish. So he was kidnapped amongst the non-Jews, and Vez Gornish says he doesn't even know that he's Jewish. He grew up in a non-Jewish home, he doesn't even know. Even that person, of course, is in fact Jewish, and therefore has a soul, and even though he doesn't know about it, and if you looked at him, you wouldn't be able to tell that he's Jewish. And from this, that's how it evolves into how do you practice this mitzvah, because this is the essence of what the mitzvah represents, that we connect even with a yid which has no clue that he's Jewish. We bring him into the fold as well, we connect with him, he's dear to us, and so on. So therefore, that's how the actual mitzvah is practiced too, as the simoni ha-teira from the eshte drei minim, that the identifiers that the Torah gives for the first three species, dafen zayin begoli by the mitvelchem is mekayim the mitzvah b'poil. The actual fruit or the actual plant that you use for your lulav has to have those descriptors that the Torah gives, because it represents a Jew which is a Torah scholar. A Torah scholar means not that he comes from a family that's Torah scholars, and therefore he's from that species. It has to be a Torah scholar that studies Torah. That's who he has to be. Mashenken by Arava, but by the Arava is a filu oide protestik Arava is nishke voxen by Anachal. Even if this particular branch of a willow did not grow alongside a stream, and is a tinishan israel in Akam, which means he wasn't in Jewish circles. He wasn't in a Jewish family. He grew up in a non-Jewish family, even though he's Jewish. He was born to a Jew. Oib nor eris from the min arve nachal. If he's from the species of the arve nachal, which means he's Jewish. He didn't have to grow up in the stream, meaning close to Torah and in a Jewish environment. As is an arabic shed lekayim a mitzvah, therefore even that one is also kosher to fulfill the mitzvah. And durch them, and through this, yukshuru mit ir from the andere gimel minim, and therefore we will bind him together with the other three species, or the other Jews which are more similar to the other three species, because they have obvious qualities. Only then do they does it become a complete bunch, which from which you can fulfill the mitzvah of the four species. Ulahoyer, and he notes, as Dafka Zeir Nomen, Velchem Nekram Bemeloshna Kairish, Arava, and it's the name that describes the willow, which in Loshon Kodesh means Arava, as we know, is the Zelba Isis from Arva Lashem Minchas Yehuda, is the same word, which means Va'arva, which means it's sweetened. Arava means it's sweet. It's sweet to Hashem. The gift from Yehuda is sweet to Hashem. It's this particular person, that kind of a Jew, which is particularly pleasant to Hashem. So in other words, to summarize, the other three species, since they describe a quality, which is, in order to be described by that quality, you have to actually possess that quality currently. So therefore, the sign that the Torah gives for that species has to actually be there in the one that you're using. But the Arava, since it describes an essential quality, which is not necessarily manifest, and therefore doesn't have to have an environment in which fosters that quality, because it's essential to the person, it's essential to the species, and therefore, even if it doesn't grow in what we call the nachal, along the stream, in the Jewish environment, it still rates as a proper species for the mitzvah. Dalet. The fun hot benoich de'era berura, and this also gives us a clear lesson in our avodas Hashem. So malamesh daf mevisim. First and foremost, we have to know as memuzich fabinim mit yedin eden, that one has to establish a bond with every single Jew. Afilim mit adoshim shudim, even with simple folk. Val kedetsa mekayim zay mitzvahs dalad tilus dalad neim, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the four species, musman habam alafir minim, you have to have all four species. You can't leave out the arava. Kishem vi mekenish yetzes and the mitzvah on an esrig. Just like you can't leave out, you can't fulfill the mitzvah without an esrig. Other aluluv other ahadas, or you can't do without aluluv or ahadas. Azay kemenish mekayim zay the mitzvah on arava. In exactly the same way, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah if you don't have the arava, which is Anoshim Shutim, which represents the simple Jews, which don't necessarily know how to learn, they don't learn, they don't have mitzvahs, but they must be part of the group. V'adarabben, in fact, even to the contrary, V'baldas the Pshitus for Anoshim Shutim, Dafkes for Munim Pshitus Atzmos, since as Chassidus tells us that the simplicity, the innocence and the simplicity of a simple folk is rooted in what we call the simplicity of the essence of Hashem. What is the simplicity of the essence of Hashem? The essence of Hashem has no description. What does simplicity mean? There isn't anything unique about this. There isn't anything interesting about it. It's simple. Hashem is so removed from any kind of description that there's nothing that you could say about him that this is an interesting aspect of Hashem. It's pure simplicity, indescribable in any way. So that essence, that which describes the essence of Hashem, the simplicity of Hashem, is from where the simplicity comes to simple Jews. Kumto iso comes out as dafke durch dem was man verbindet sich mit anoshim shutim, that is specifically because we connect to the simple Jews. Through this, the great scholar is able to connect also to the simplicity of Hashem. So in addition to this, we have also the lesson, as is a chiluk ikri, that there's a very fundamental difference in the ma'ifim vima fabinsach mit the erste drei sugim fin yidin, how one is able to connect to the first three types of yidin. The scholar, the one that does mitzvahs, or the one has both, adam et anish pashut, or with the simple Jew. Divas zayne shaykh tzemailas gluyas, those Jews which have a connection to obvious qualities, whether it's Torah, or Masim Tovim, or both, The only way that they can be described as a scholar is if he learns. The only way you can be described as somebody who does good deeds is if you do good deeds. It doesn't mean anything if you come from a family of scholars. That doesn't make you a scholar. You're not going to be described as a scholar. Or you're registered in a yeshiva. So now you're a scholar, not if you're not learning. Or even if a while back you used to learn Torah, that's not enough either. He has to have now the taste of the limud haTorah, of studying Torah, but Poyel, that he actually studies Torah. And in regards to doing good deeds, it's obvious that there's no need to even explain it. If you're not actually doing good deeds, you can't be described as a person that does good deeds. Aber bei Mekarav Zayin an Ish Poshut, but when we talk about bringing, you know, drawing close a simple person, Dafnish don't know him. You don't. There's no conditions that have to be made. Freer Leonard Taylor like to say, you want to be considered part of the group, first study some Torah. That's what you would say to a scholar. You want to be in the scholar group, study Torah. But to somebody that's connecting as a simple person, you don't have to make conditions that first you have to learn Torah. You don't have to make conditions. You have to do good deeds before you can join the group. You don't even have to make the condition that in order to join the group of Jews, of simple Jews, at least you have to feel like a Jew. No, you don't even have to feel like a Jew. You could come from somewhere other than along the stream. You can come from the middle of the desert. Vibald Erez Mezeri Yisrael, since this is a person that is a descendant of Jews, which means he's Jewish, Darfman Zum Alam Eshen Zich Fabinim Mitem, first and foremost, you have to connect with him, immediately connect with him. Mitzad Av Yisrael, because of out of love for every Jew. The Far Vaser Zayid, simply because he's Jewish, Va'adarabe. And perhaps this way, Oybe Filt Dos Nisht, and even more so, if he doesn't feel like he's a Jew, because is the Rachmanes Efem Gor Agreisa, because of a Jew doesn't even understand that he's a Jew, he doesn't feel Jewish, doesn't identify with any of it at all, so how much more do you have to have compassion on such a person? Un Rachmim Rabban brings Ahava Rabba, and therefore if you have compassion on him, it'll bring you to love him. So therefore you want to connect to a person like that, even more so than to somebody that knows he's Jewish and understands what it means. Und das Eivis Abrias wird bringen, and when you love that person, this brings him a Karvan LaTorah. This allows you to bring him close to the Torah. Then there's possibility that he should want to step closer to Torah. Sof, in the end, Makarav Zayin and Oifayim Debrias from Torah, in the end, you'll be able to bring close those people that are considered Brias. They just simply exist as Jews, but they don't have any of the qualities that a Jew has, meaning the obvious qualities of a Jew. And so you'll elevate them from being simple existing as Jews to living as Jews. Bizavel Zayin in the Daga from Yesh Betam Yesh Bereich, till they will also become a Jew that has a good taste, studies Torah, has a good aroma, does mitzvahs, and so on. Hey, Derbiur, this explanation that we just gave is late today. It works well according to the opinion that we said earlier, as Kapis Tmarim, that what the Rogachava said, that the date palm, or the lulav that comes from a date palm, is a tnai likuba in lulav, is a condition which has to be in the lulav, that has to be a palm that produces dates. As a smus kumav in a dekel shayis tmarim. But of course there are other opinions. As Oich Kapis Tmonim is Blois the Shema Min Bechlau, that when the Torah describes a date palm, it only means the species of a date palm, Punkvi Arvenachal, just like the Aravas which grow by the stream, that it doesn't mean it has to actually grow by the stream. And therefore they say, as Oichad Dekel Shein Oisat Marim, that even a palm, a date palm that isn't actually producing dates, is kosher lululuv, would also be kosher for a lulav. So therefore now we're not talking, we don't have that difference. A date palm doesn't necessarily have, in other words, a scholar doesn't necessarily have to be producing Torah now, according to this. So therefore we can explain the difference this way. So now we have the two species of Esrig and Hadas are a requirement for the particular Esrig that you're using and a particular Hadas that you're using. But the Lulav and the Arava do not have to be those signs do not have to be present in your Lulav, because your Lulav can come from a date palm that doesn't produce dates, the same as an Arava. Light D day is according to this opinion. So now we can explain how the two groups, you know, the two on this side, the two on that side, why are there these two differences? Natilas Dalad Minim is doch von the mitzvah Maisius. The mitzvah of the four species is one of the mitzvahs in which it's a proactive mitzvah. When a Zay Gufa a clean nihilist be yaser, and even within mitzvahs maisius, active mitzvahs in which you do an actual act, they are a very important, a very elevated channel to accomplish what they're accomplishing. Varum zei zidaf uftan achtos b'shleimus from all the sugyim, because this act of this mitzvah has to bring the perfect unity connection between all the types of Yidden. As the Zohar says that it represents the four different species, also represents the four letters of Hashem's name, and we're bringing together those four letters. In other words, we're trying to accomplish something very elevated. So the act of this mitzvah is a channel to bring down some very elevated kinds of unity, both amongst the Jewish people, also within the name of Hashem itself. Und da sagt man, as is ma'akev, via zoi ken veren de metzius von de mitzvahs maisis. And at the same time we say that it's essential. If you don't have this, it's not going to be you're not going to accomplish the mitzvah. How is it possible that you can actually bring about this mitzvah? Venes tuunas in them, azoinavos eimba maisim toivim. Only if you include people that don't have any good deeds. This is a mitzvah in which it expects the deed of the mitzvah. The deed is meant to evoke such great unity amongst Hashem, in Hashem himself and within the Jewish people. And how are you going to accomplish this? Only irrevocably if it includes also people that don't do anything at all. That seems to be contradictory. Nishnar as in zevet ugiton achtos ve'ichud. In other words, we're saying that because you include them into this mitzvah, so they will also become part of the Jewish people. That's not what we're saying. Durch dem kiyum mitzvah, b'lashem medrash da'guf ha'benit nedam, machaper me'la alevu, as the medrash expresses it, that because you include people that don't have these qualities, so the qualities of the people that do have it also cover for the people that don't have it. When you bring them together, everybody together, so therefore the fact that they lack a quality but the others have it, so therefore it covers for them too. But that's not all we're saying. That's one great thing, but that's not all we're saying. We're saying that without them you can't even get to the point of having accomplished the mitzvah. Without the arava you have no mitzvah. The Yaseidim is when it goes even further than that. Zeir Tziruf is Uvgiton, in Uftan Metzias a Mitzvah's Maisias, including them in order to be able to create this Mitzvah. Darvko Shteren, in fact, including them would seem to interfere what this Mitzvah is trying to accomplish. Al Darvim is not similar to what we say back up by Parah Aduma, in regards to Parah Aduma, as Davzai Nisht Arana Nisht Al Yidei Aran. By Parah Adum it says in the Torah Chukas that it was done through Elazar, not through Aaron himself, even in, during the lifetime of Aaron. It wasn't done through Aaron, it was done through Elazar. It means the assistant Kohen Gadol. Why not through Aaron himself? Such an important mitzvah like Parah Adumah, why wasn't it done through Aaron himself? The answer is, Val ein katega nasas aneger, because the Parah Adumah is meant to atone for the cheta ego, for the sin of the golden calf. And Aaron was complicit in that in a very subtle way, but still he was complicit in that. So therefore you can't have a defender, which is the Kohen that's going to be bringing the Parah Adumah, is trying to defend the Jews and bring atonement for that sin. You can't have the prosecutor, the one that was complicit in the sin, to be the defender. And therefore Aaron can't be part of that. So here, you might say the same. We're trying to create a unity amongst the Jewish people in order to create this mitzvah, this act of a mitzvah. And how are you going to include somebody that doesn't act on any other mitzvah? How are you going to include him? That should interfere with the ability to create the act of the mitzvah that should accomplish all these great things of bringing unity to the Jewish people, unity in the name of Hashem, and so on. Muzman Zog. So therefore we're left to say the way that we could understand it is as Beida Lulav Arava, that both of these Lulav and Arava to an oif mitzias ha mitzvah dur zeir etzem, both of them accomplish the creation of this mitzvah not through their qualities but through their essence. But Zezayin ibn Avram, that they are simply because they're Jews. In other words, we're not looking at what are their qualities. That's not what is at play here. What's at play here is they are in their essence Jewish people. Belcha ishtarker, which is a stronger, more compelling connection to the Jewish people. Vener vertnis gal, at least when you bring to the, when you are able to uncover that essence of the Jew. Dur dem tziru velikichut zuzam mit nesu vardasen v'maisim. So it's a more compelling connection to the Jewish people, the essence of a Jew, than the what a person does and what he's accomplished. That's a lesser compelling connection to the Jewish people than the essence of the Jew. So the Lulav and the Arava have a more compelling connection, and they create this act of a mitzvah which can accomplish all those things even more than the Esreg and the Hadassim, which are there because they represent great accomplishments. Because now we're talking that the lulav doesn't actually have to come from a tree that produces, right now is producing dates, which means he's no longer connected to the Torah, which he may have learned at some time. So we're also falling back on his essence. And we can see a parallel to this, at least to some degree, but in regards to the lulav, became dafer habim Torah, that of the lulav needs to have Torah, even though it's the essence that we're looking to, but still the lulav needs to have Torah. It's not enough just to have only the essence. For the lulav, it's not enough. He has to have Torah too. Truma verdge, where do we see a parallel to that? Truma verdge geb nor l'kayin. Truma, the law of truma, which has to be given only to a kayin. It's required that you give it to a kayin. You can't give it to a levi, you can't give it to anybody else. To a scholar, has to be to a kayin. Vail eris b'nei shel Aaron. What makes a kayin a kayin? Because he's a descendant of Aaron. Through his father, he's a descendant of Aaron, and therefore he's the only one that can have truma. And even though it's that condition which is essential and necessary for being able to receive Truma, and he has that, we still, the Gemara says, he still has to have the quality of Torah. Even though it's essential that he's a Kohen, that's what makes him qualified to be able to receive Truma. But he needs also the quality of being scholarly. Why? Because the Gemara says, "Vanoisin truma l'kayin ama ores." If somebody gives truma to a kayin that is an ignoramus, Ki'ilu noisna la'ari, it's as if he gives it to a lion. In other words, somebody that's destructive, and what he won't know what to do with it, he'll mistreat it, he may abuse it, because there are laws which are conditional for eating truma, for handling truma, and so on. And if you give it to somebody who doesn't know what he's doing, it's dangerous. So therefore, what's essential for being able to receive truma is being a kohen. But yet you also have to have the quality of Torah in order to be able to do it properly. So the lulav, what's essential to the lulav is that what's the obvious thing is that he's comes from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, he's Jewish. But it's also a quality that is necessary for a lulav. Because in the end, a lulav is the one that comes from a date palm. So it's not good enough. It may be enough, but it's not good enough that he should have studied Torah in the past. He also has to have studied Torah now, even though what's essential is that he is Jewish. Vav, leitem bir kumtarois noch aninyan. According to this explanation, we find another matter. As es is da agresere chidush nem tziruf alulu legab dem tziruf in the aravas, that there is even something more outstanding about the connecting the lulav to this group, even more than connecting the arava to this group. Originally we said, what's the arava doing in this mix? Now we look at it, we say, it's an even greater wonder, what's the lulav doing in this mix? Why? Because Misha Yesh Bei Torah, the person that has Torah, the lulav is a person that has Torah but doesn't have good deeds. So if you have a scholar that does not have good deeds, that's even worse, way worse. If there is an ignoramus, a person that doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, is less of a problem than somebody who does know what he needs to do and doesn't do it. So a scholar, a lulav, is a scholar that doesn't have good deeds. Because somebody who's ignorant doesn't know any better. But the scholar, Hadim Talmud, he has the study. He has studied. When Ava became his Anishmevil de Mises, still it doesn't bring him to act on that study. And the Gemara says that the most important part of studying is that it leads you to do the right thing. So here's somebody that has been studying, and it doesn't lead him to do the right thing. Al derech ma'amar azal, as similar to what our sages tell us as Tamid Chachamim, that when we talk about a scholar, shkogas naslem kizdainis, if he does commits a sin inadvertently, it's considered like he did it on purpose, because since he knows, what do you mean he did it inadvertently? Of course you should have known better. But from them, this gives us another greater lesson. As the chiyuv to from verbinden sich mit jeden Eden, that this obligation that the mitzvah expresses, that one must connect with every single type of Jew, yukshiru kula maguda achas, let them all become one bound up entity, is nishnor midivas benegeyuzeis is as pekuch nevesh beruchnis mamish. It's not only talking about you have to connect to people that don't know anything about being Jewish, because that is, it's a life-threatening situation for them spiritually. Of course they need someone to teach them and show them and bring them closer. Otherwise they could get lost, God, chas v'shalom. So it's not only for them that we need to connect, which is the Ami Oretz, like the people that are not scholarly, that are ignorant of the laws of the Torah, v'tinik shenishba v'na akum, or the child that was what's called figuratively as the child that was captured, kidnapped amongst the goyim. In other words, somebody who wasn't given a Jewish education to begin with, grew up in an environment where there was no Judaism, which is so many of the Jews today. Azel chavos hot kemel nishvazucht, such people that never tasted the tam for Yiddishkeit, the taste of Yiddishkeit, they never sat at a Shabbos table, they don't know anything about it. So certainly that we have to connect with them, that goes without saying. But this is what this is telling us, that even someone that does know, he learned, he's a scholar, he knows, Und von deswegen ist nicht mekayem, and he doesn't fulfill what he's learned. That's the lulav. He knows, but he hasn't, doesn't do it. Darf man sich abgeben und sich verbinden mit dem. We also have to pay attention to him. We also have to include him into the group. Yukshiru kulam agudah has to make a bond with him too. Und nochmal, and even more so, me muzim haben lasses mitzah. You need that kind of a person also in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of the four species. So it's easy to overlook the faults of somebody who doesn't know better. But when you have somebody that does know better and doesn't do what he should be doing, that's more difficult to overlook that fault. So this mitzvah says, no, you have to include that person too. Even somebody who should know better also has to be included. Und durch dem, was alles sagen von Yidden werden eine Sache zusammennehmen, but when all the different species, the types of Yidden become, our categories of Yidden are united, that Uvgetan, this accomplishes, wie der Medrash Firtois, as the Medrash concludes there, Heim Mechaprim Elu Alelu, that one covers for another. The people that have, that are lacking, they are covered by the people that are not lacking. And when you're one entity, so not everybody covers for everybody else, and therefore everyone is seen in a much better light. Kold and Taichin Kapara, including the other interpretation of the word Kapara, L'chaper l'fnei Hashem li'is nachas ruach l'koinei, that it atones before Hashem, so that Hashem enjoys and has pleasure and delight from all, every single Jew. Bizas das poilt oifan ilu ech lamalika v'yechla, until this also brings about a certain quality in Hashem himself. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Hashem states, ani mis'ala, I am elevated through this. So not only does it elevate the entire Jewish population all as one, but Hashem feels elevated through this. Does bring Tarab the Geula Mitzvah Hashem, and this will bring the full, true Geula, redemption, the Ein Yisrael Negorim Atshiyah Kulam Aguda Achas. The Jewish people cannot be, will not be redeemed until they become one group, one bound together group, as the Medrash says. Okay.